We're Dr. Gary and Barry Rosberg, America's Family Coaches, and today we're going to coach you up as we coach you to pick yourself up and keep on moving. Now, Barb, we don't watch women's soccer very often, do we?
No, we don't.
But, just recently, I tell you, the United States women's soccer team gave us all something to cheer about as their amazing play elevated them to the championship game of the World Cup. Now, people who aren't excited soccer fans even watched this game against Japan with excitement. And it was a great game. It went into two overtimes, and it was decided with penalty kicks. Now, I'm going to talk to you about some tension, because I remember watching a part of this game. And as most of us know, the U.S. team lost the championship, and everyone's heart sank. You know, I remember a lot of people saying something good is happening in Japan because they've gone through such natural disasters recently. So a lot of people were saying, you know what, maybe this was their turn to be encouraged. But our American women played so hard. And you know what, Bart, we wanted them to win. It was awesome. And as we watched, you know what, we saw the disappointment in their faces. And I think a lot of us in the United States, you know, just had all sorts of emotion around that. Now, some thought, gosh, what an amazing job. You guys played the best teams in the world. You made it to the championship game and second place in the world. That is amazing. Yet others saw the USA women's team and their dream of being number one, you know, really failing. And I tell you, they fell short. And a lot of people were just sitting back going, you know what? Compared to being number one, number two ain't all it's cracked up to be. It really is a situation of how do you speak into people's heart when they come up short and they need to be coached up.
Well, and we need to feel the pain along with them. It's a disappointment. There's sadness. There's grieving because every one of us can relate to a dream. And as you were reading that, and I thought, you know, when in a time, there have been so many times in my life where I've had the hope, the expectation of being number one or doing this wonderful, great dream alongside of you or just in my life or, and then it doesn't happen, you're in this place of being second or third or disappointed. And instantly I thought, you know, we go through it as adults, but we also go through it as kids. I can remember a time when we got our driver's license as kids. You know, I mean, you had your permit.
Yeah, I was driving for 2 years before that, well, but not legally. I
mean. Well, what I wanted to share was I wasn't driving 2 years before
it. No, you weren't.
And I, you know, got my permit, my learner's permit. I took driver's ed. I went to get my driver's license, and you had to parallel park in order to get your driver's license. And my parents, back in the day, had this great big, huge Buick LeSabre, and I could not parallel park that thing for anything. And I'm glad my parents had a nice car, but wrong car for me to take to, you know, get my driver's license. They did not pass me. I remember I was just shipwrecked. I went home, you know, all my friends were calling on the phone, did you get your license? Did you get your license? You're 16 today, you know? And I mean, I was just devastated. It was a major deal at 16. And my brother took me out in the car. I had to go to band practice, marching band practice out at Valley High School. And we drove, we got in the car, and he said to me, he's 3 years older, and he said, get in the driver's seat. I said, no, I can't. He goes, get in the driver's seat. And he made me drive his car all the way out to high school. And I remember I had been shipwrecked. I had to face all of my friends at band practice. You know, I wanted to die, you know, big L above my forehead, loser.
Oh.
And my brother, I mean, he just took control. And he met me in my pain. He connected. But basically, he was saying, get yourself back up and get back out there and do it again. And the next day, he went with me to get my driver's license. And I took his car, his little yellow convertible, little Chevy convertible, and I passed. But, you know, it was he was the bridge. He was the coach in the day, and he coached me up to get out there and do it, even, you know, so you're sad, your emotions don't have brains, you know, so drive sad, do it sad, but get out there and do it. And that's what all of us need when we feel like we've got to grieve the dream because we didn't get first place. Sometimes that second, what feels like second place, is the road to something else. It's a journey to where we're going. And we would have missed it if we got that original dream.
You know, and Barb, sometimes when there's a detour in the road, to use that word picture, there is something to learn in the midst of the detour. And we don't see it when we are dealing with the frustration of our needs not being met or not getting what we want or feeling the disappointment. But we get on the other side of it. And as we've spoken about on other coaching up, you know, times, we look backwards or we read from right to left like the Hebrews, and it makes more sense to us because there's purpose in it. You know, but every one of you are just like Barb and me. You have times where there's disappointment. You have times where you need to connect to that emotion, and, you know, and this is the counselor in me, but you need to validate that. I mean, it's a legitimate emotion. And when you have a betrayal in your marriage, when you have a rejection from a parent, when you have the abandonment from a friend, when you have a setback in a church or in a community, and you're hurt by somebody, you know what? That's legitimate to feel. But what do you do with that? And, you know, Barb, you often coach, feelings don't have brains. So if you just get under that and that becomes a weight on you, and it just dictates your decision-making and what you do, you know, the next day or sometimes the next hour, you know, it's going to wear you out. You know, honey, I was on the phone yesterday with my buddy Steve and talking about a burden that I was carrying. And he said, you know, Gary, I was just talking to my son, John, who this morning, prior to your call, just said, you know what, Dad, sometimes we've all got a burden that we can't carry. And so what we need to do is we need to lay that burden down, the burdens that we can't carry, and let somebody else carry them. And sometimes that's a friend, sometimes it's a spouse, but all the time it's the grace of God where he steps in and says, you know what, you come to me with that burden. And if you're weary, you know what, I'll take it and I'll make your load light.
Someone may be joining us today and they have just experienced the disappointment of a broken dream, expectation, a hope. And in reality, they may be reeling from it emotionally. And as you said, we're just absolutely connecting with you. You've got to grieve it. You've got to feel it. But when you stay there too long, you have a pity party. And sometimes those pity parties, you invite me, myself, and I, and you let no one else get there.
There's not room for anybody.
There's no room. You're just filling up your whole world with yourself. And reality is this, self-pity will absolutely keep us in that place longer than we were meant to stay. When you quit wallowing in self-pity, you've got to be willing to decide to usher it out the doorway of your home, your house, your life. When you decide you're going to get back up, you're going to drive the car, you're going to breathe hope and a future. Maybe the whole lesson is to experience the togetherness in marriage and the unifying experience that no matter what we're going through, we will go through it together.
Yeah, Barb, for years, I have spoken and reminded people of Ecclesiastes 4. And Solomon says something there, and that is, pity the poor man who falls down and has no one to pick him up. And I know there have been time after time where I've been on the receiving end of somebody else picking me up. And but you know what? If you want a friend like that, then the best coaching as we coach you up is for you to be a friend like that. So a lot of people sit back and say, well, who would pick me up? Well, maybe the other question, the more important question is, who are you picking up? And it's amazing how when that becomes contagious in relationships, and then when we're facing off these setbacks, and you know what, we need to get back in the race, and we need to dust ourselves off, and we need to receive God's mercies new and fresh every morning and try again and try again and try again. We're given the encouragement to do just that. Sometimes it's when we start doing it for another person.
And when you were talking a moment ago, I thought of this old 40s song, you've got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off. And start all over again.
Sing it,
who
Barb.
In your life needs to be picked up?
Yeah.
Who needs to be encouraged and reminded that you're going to give them a good chunk of your confidence? Encourage them and tell them to start all over again and that you're going to drive with them. You're going to be with them. You're going to support, encourage, love them. You do it for a girlfriend, do it for your husband. Makes sense. Be in your family what you are to others outside of your family. I mean, that's a program in and of itself. So here we go. We are Gary and Barb Rosberg, America's Family Coaches. We would really love to hear your feedback on today's topic.
Then join us at our website at americasfamilycoaches.com.